I'm going to read an article to you, and then I would love it if you'd come in and respond and join me. If you're a parent, if you're a husband, a brother, a mother, a sister, or just a woman, you've got to know about this case because we can't let this happen again. Talk about a lack of justification. Listen to this. This was in Irving, Texas. In North Texas, two Irving women, they've filed a federal lawsuit against state troopers and the head of that department. And they are alleging, I hate the word alleging because it basically states that you're lying. I really resent that word. Alleging that they were subjected to a humiliating and illegal cavity search during a traffic stop. And all the more reason why I hate the word alleging in this case is because there is a video taken by the squad car. The video, as the police officer gets out of the car, the video continues to run. So there is absolute, incontrovertible proof. It's irrefutable that these police officers did what these women allege. I just hate the word allege. It implies that you're lying. Welcome guests to syndicatednews.net to call in. Our number is toll free, 877-921-5489. In fact, let me just copy paste that right into the chat room. Here you are. Join me if you want to participate. This is a very serious Christmas Day discussion. And if you have children, if you have family, this should bother you. And it goes on to say, 38-year-old Angel Dobbs and her 24-year-old niece, Ashley Dobbs, were pulled over, this was in July, near the area of Highway 161 and Beltline Road, for allegedly tossing cigarette butts out the window of their car while they were on a road trip to Oklahoma. The women's attorney's name is Scott Palmer, and he says that the state trooper, David Farrell, forgive me, people are coming in through Google, through Skype, through everywhere. Okay, if you want to come in, there's an 800 number. Again, it's 877-921-5489, or you can come in through Skype. The attorney, rather, said that these women basically threw a cigarette butt out of the car and that these police officers proceeded to publicly humiliate them. The women's attorney, his name is Scott Palmer, said that the state trooper Dave Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L, claimed that he smelled marijuana coming from the car and he performed a search. He turned up nothing, absolutely nothing. And then Farrell called over a female trooper who proceeded to do the following. She proceeded to conduct a very personal cavity search to see if the women were hiding any illegal item, I guess heavy drugs or something like that. Farrell asked for the search because he said that the women were acting weird. That's what he says. After putting on the gloves, Angel Dobbs says that the trooper asked if it was okay to search her. Dobbs didn't answer. Now, the article says it is. Dobbs says she didn't answer. I'm looking at the video myself. I can see clearly she didn't answer. When she asked the trooper why she was putting on gloves, the trooper said to her, "Just shut up and listen." The woman said that the female trooper, her name is Kelly Hellison, proceeded to use her fingers to search their back area, turn them around, put the hand in the panties again, and then went up into the frontal area. So we're talking about a complete cavity search. This is not a joke. This is something that you would have, say, in a medical setting. This was on the road as cars went back and forth in full view of the public. If you don't have an opinion, perhaps you just don't understand the gravity of this. In the actual video, you can see the trooper feel around the woman's chest area underneath her bra, and I would say both the woman and her niece both look shocked. They're trying to be compliant because they're terrified. And many times when a woman is terrified, she'll be quiet and submissive because she's afraid that they'll hurt her even more. I mean, imagine if the individual has the legal audacity, because at this point, they don't know if this is legal or not. They just know they're being subjected to it. And they're experiencing this horror. Here they are on a public road. And a woman just put on gloves and penetrated them twice. And then first the aunt and then the niece. And the aunt, who had just gone through it, knows that there's nothing she can do to protect her niece, and figures, rightly so, that her niece will likely experience it as well. I see someone typing me a message. This is such an important issue. Consider all the achievements women have made in this country. And now this is the loss of civil rights. This is an actual assault in a public place by a police officer in front of passing motorists, meaning cars were going left and right while this was going on. So anyone going by that road that night could see this. And the entire thing has been filmed, and you can see in the video, you can see the cars coming and going. Of course, both of them said they are absolutely in shock. This is very, very good point that one of our participants has just typed. We'll read it to you. Sitting in our chat room, welcome to syndicatednews.net. We have to deal with this as parents and as family members. I wouldn't want my sister or my nieces or anyone in my family to go through this. Ella Logan states that with this caught on videotape, from the trooper's camera to boot, how is this a case? From what I've read and what I've heard you read, this is by far in their favor. Horrible that they had to endure such a nightmare. This is a case because when they went to the authorities to state that they were going to file a case, that they were filing a complaint, they were told, if you file a case and you are deemed to be lying, you will be arrested. In other words, they were threatened yet again as they went up the line to demand protection or to say, we want to file a case. They were further insulted and further verbally assaulted, intimidated. In other words, if you file a case, we're going to come after you again. I would be terrified considering they have the license, they know where the women live, that they do it again. What say you, Ella? Ella, we have a toll-free number. Why don't you just call us up? Let's talk this out, woman to woman. Come on. Talk to me, Ella. Our toll-free number is 877-921-5489. Ella's got some more typing. She's giving us some more information. Let's give her a second. Oh, she's calling. Good for her. Green Dog is locked in. Welcome back, Green Dog. This is a serious matter. Ella, please do come on in, 877-921-5489. Ella, I can't thank you enough for participating. I know if you have children, if you have a sister, what say you? Talk to me.
Well, this is horrible. This is the first I've heard of this story, I'm embarrassed to say. And
a lot of people haven't really caught the gist of it. The female police officer assaulted her through the back.
Yeah.
We're talking about fecal bacteria.
Right, right. I just couldn't believe it when I read it was a male trooper, and then female troopers participated as well. I just couldn't believe that.
In allowing it and asking the female troopers to do it. But
yeah.
He didn't do the vaginal search or the anal search, the female troopers. And first of all, they suspended the female trooper, but not the male trooper because he didn't really put his hands in her. It's the same
thing. It's the same thing he told them too. That's why they were called, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's horrible. I just can't even imagine that happening. But thank goodness that they were brave enough to speak up, even after they were attacked afterwards. How many times has this happened that where people just are too embarrassed or ashamed or felt like they maybe have done wrong? Who knows? For whatever reason, they did not speak up. But kudos to these two women who did.
And
maybe, just maybe.
I'm wondering how many other women they might have been doing this to. You've gone through something like this that you come forward.
Right, right, right. I'm sure a lot of people are afraid because it's their word against the
police officer.
The police department. And it's, as you said, the word allegedly already right there says, well, they're lying. It's not based, you know, it's not a confirmation fact. It's probable. So
I hate the word alleged.
Yeah.
It implies that they don't believe you.
Right, right.
Well, the video is wonderful because the video is so clear. There is no question of what is happening. This is not alleged. I just saw it happen. I saw it on video. And it's all over YouTube. It's viral all over YouTube. So this is not something they're going to be able to be quiet about. I just want to go look at pictures of the town where this happened to see what type of financial problem looking at, because they are looking at a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
Now, this happened in Irving, Texas. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Northern Texas. It happened, and basically they are acting as though this is something that's routine. And in the past, women had come forward to the authorities in Texas, in that region, and said, this happened to me. A police officer did this to me, and nothing was done about it. And here they've done it again. And I'm sorry. Do you know what you've got to really be you must hate women that after all of that had happened and he got these female officers to violate these two passengers, the passenger and the driver, that happened, aunt and niece, then he says, and you could hear him on the tape, he says, well, I guess we'd have to attribute the smell to people who smoke every day, you know.
Wow.
Daily. Really?
Wow.
And he put it on syndicatednews.net. And our political scandals pages, because this is not the end of this one. This is going to be something that's going to change jurisprudence, I really believe.
All right. Now, something I'm clear. They were pulled over for a traffic stop, and then once...
No. They were driving, and
they threw cigarette butts, is what he thought, out the window. And when he approached the car, he smelled marijuana, so he claimed?
He smelled cigarette smoke.
And that justified a cavity search?
It didn't. I even called the show Police Brutality, Abuse of Power. I've gone to medical exams that were less intrusive than what these women experienced at the hands of the police officer.
Yeah, and with passerbys, no doubt.
And if you look at the tape, you can see the cars going by.
Oh, gosh.
Slowing
down. Horrible.
They're rubbernecking because they're watching one woman with her hands in the bloomers of the other.
Mm.
So, you know, to them, people are looking at it, and it looks very sexual.
Yeah. To me, that's no different than rape. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what she said. She said, I was just violated.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. She's, as far as I'm concerned, it's no different than rape, and that's exactly what they should call it. Because I've seen men who smoke heavily, and I've seen them pulled over, and never have I seen a police officer put on a glove and do an anal cavity search on a man because he thought he had marijuana.
I have
never seen it ever in my life, and now all of a sudden it's acceptable to do to women?
Right. And you just said a clue word right there, thought. If you don't have the actual evidence, I mean, you can think all day long, but you don't have anything, any proof. If they found any marijuana, even then doesn't justify a cavity search right there in front of public. But at the same time, they didn't find anything.
Nothing.
So it should have ended there. They could have got a ticket for throwing the butts out if that's illegal in Irving, Texas, And if not, send them along on their way. Not a cavity search.
They didn't even ticket them.
Wow.
They didn't even ticket them because there was no cause. So they let them go with a warning.
Wow.
Really? You think that you're going to violate me in that manner and give me a warning? Oh, honey, in public view, the cars are going back and forth. Back and forth.
You know, all I can say is they are lucky that they have this tape, because that's gonna be their savior. But anything else, I mean, their word, their talk, their anything that, you know, they said that happened and didn't, you know, it's not gonna, wouldn't stand up, I don't think. But with this recording video of exact what happened from the trooper's camera.
From the car, yeah.
It's not
car
someone
cam.
Else using a cell phone. This is from the trooper's camera himself, you know. So how that's going to play out, I'm going to follow and see. I'm no psychic, but I can kind of tell you how this is going to turn out.
and absolutely. And Green Dog states that this is the reason why we have the Second Amendment. He says that the video is clear evidence that these women are sexually assaulted. Green Dog, get on the phone and join Ella and me.
Yes.
Join us. Come on. Get in here. He says this is to protect us from police tyranny. Absolutely. Get in here. It's a toll-free number. Come on now. Here it is. Let me give it back to you. If
hold
you
on one
join,
second. I'm sorry.
Certainly. Of course. Here's the number in case you want to join us.
Hello?
Yes. How are you?
Good. I live with Ella. I had seen this story online about a week ago, and I was appalled at what I had seen for a simple traffic stop over littering, is what it amounts to.
For throwing, not even emptying out an ashtray, which would have sent, you know, 20 or 30 bucks, but a cigarette butt, and for that you get assaulted.
Molested. Yeah.
Do you have sisters or children or daughters?
I do not, but I think that the way they've allowed the Homeland Security to basically do this at airports has, in their minds, allowed them to continue that out with simple things such as a police stop over a matter that should not be requiring a cavity search. It's absolutely ridiculous that they thought they
never
could even.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't believe that they had taken it this far over such a innocuous act of littering.
It's amazing to me.
It wasn't heroin, or it wasn't any. It was marijuana, first of all. If that's what they thought they smelled, and they didn't find anything, and all they had done was litter to actually bring this upon.
Just one cigarette butt is all they threw out the window, a cigarette butt, and he decided to pull them over and have females come over and do this and violate them in public. And you could see the cars slowing down, watching this officer with their hands inside the vaginal and the anal cavity of these young women.
Now, mind you also, there's two states that have already legalized marijuana, so for them to go to such an extreme over this particular drug seems absolutely banal.
And then he even says on the tape, he admits there were no drugs in the car. He admits there was no marijuana, and he says to her, and you can hear it clearly on the tape, geez, I guess that smell is from the daily smoking in the car.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So again, you know, this is kind of a point that people have to stand up on and say this is unacceptable.
We have to, because just as if we allow bullying, we are stating by being quiet, we are saying it's okay. You don't have to be the person who's the bully. If you're letting it happen and you remain silent and you don't stand up, that means that they can.
That it's okay.
Absolutely, they'll do it to you, and don't complain when they do it to your daughter or
exactly.
your sister or your mother.
Mm-hmm.
This is so intrusive. And when you look at these women, they don't look like bums. You know what they look like to me? They look like, I have to say, that they were getting off on it, because both of them are attractive women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They look like regular, gals that would be sitting next to you at work. They look like regular people that have regular jobs who lead regular lives. These are women who are wearing, how would I say, you know, the low class and showing all the breasts and then the shorts with the buttocks hanging out. No, they're not wearing vulgar clothing. Their clothing is very conservative.
I had seen the video, and I agree. And this is a case of incremental gradualism where if you let them do this without standing up and making a public stink about this, it's only going to get worse.
And then he actually admits, oh, I guess it was just from daily smoking. I thought it was pot.
Mm-hmm.
He gives them a warning and tells them, lets them go.
Right, but the fact that this story has now gotten out into the media and the response is good. When I see a story, I usually do go down and read the comments. The outrage that was expressed in most of the comments is what the rest of us that did not comment are feeling over this story, that this is way beyond acceptable and we have to draw a line here and make all police departments know that this is not an acceptable protocol for stopping somebody for littering.
And please do go ahead and leave a comment on here on Syndicated News.
Mm-hmm.
This is so serious.
Yeah, Ellie, I've been listening to your show tonight.
We were taking a break for the holidays because Block Talk Radio is closed the 24th and the 25th. So we figured we'd take a break, too, and we even put a little strip on syndicatednews.net that says our shows are resting for the holidays. And I started reading this article, which I thought, you know what, I have a chance, I'll go read it. And when I saw the seriousness, you mean you thought they had drugs? They have nothing? Oh, and by the way, she had a prescription for Vicodin, and the police officer took it away from her and kept it.
Even though she had a prescription for it,
yes.
Was made out in her name.
Yes, he kept the prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Any lawyer in the country who hears us, please...
We'll be salivating over this case.
Take this case, because this is true, true brutality and misogyny. This is a hatred of women. This is an absolute smack in the face of all the achievements women have made in this country.
And this is overstepping their authority.
Completely.
Yeah.
What is your field?
I was in the music business, but I'm retired now. And again, I spend a lot of my time reading news and reading.
What is your instrument?
I play guitar.
Do you know who our CEO is?
I do not.
John McEwen.
From the band?
From the
Nitty Gritty.
Yeah.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yes,
sure.
He is. Yeah, he's in fact, our intros for our shows and our outros are all John McEwen music.
Good friend with, I believe, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
The comedian.
Actually, a lot of people don't know that John McEwen taught Steve Martin when they were teenagers in California. He taught him how to play the banjo.
Banjo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, there is a message here that says, Green Dog says, 5 months after the complaint, the two cops got suspended. Suspended. You're right. That's all, Green Dog says. That's all. Just suspended.
Oh, I've seen a lot of stories recently with police using excessive force in cases where they've shot people, used tasers, that absolutely did not require. As a matter of fact, there was a story yesterday in the news where a person playing Santa Claus in a public park wrote something on the ground in chalk, and it was something like Merry Christmas, and the police came and handcuffed him and took him away for doing this instead of just...
Wait a minute, for writing what?
Just something on the ground relating to Christmas. It was either Merry Christmas kids, or he was in a public area in a Santa Claus suit, and he wrote on the ground with chalk. If you look it up online, I don't have the story in front of me right now, but
That's amazing.
And if you look, somebody filmed it, and you'll see the police coming along. They put him on the ground, face down, handcuff him, and take him away for just writing on the ground with chalk.
I am
what does this country come to?
I'm very upset about Arizona. I've said many times, I'm a businesswoman. I've actually avoided business trips to Arizona because as a Hispanic female, I don't want to show up there. Maybe I want to take a walk, and perhaps I don't bring my wallet. Maybe I just bring $3 or $4 because I want to go get a latte or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And someone says to me, let me see your papers. What papers? What is that? What do you mean
this
papers?
This is how it starts, right?
And all of a sudden, I find myself in Guadalajara,
mm-hmm.
calling the United States, saying, I got hauled off. I'm in Guadalajara. They didn't believe me. I've boycotted Arizona because of that.
I live in New Hampshire now, but I was required to travel down to New York, where my family lived for quite a few years. And on the road down in Vermont, there was always a police stop on I-91, and they would have you pull over, and an officer would come up to the window and say, good evening, are you an American citizen, or good afternoon? And the first time it happened, I just looked at them and I laughed and I said, yes, I'm an American citizen, what's this all about? And because I guess the way I spoke or acted, they waved me on without asking for any paper. But they were stopping cars along on this route. I don't know if they were looking for illegal immigrants or people that, but the fact that they had this roadblock set up and were stopping people on the interstate asking for ID or to talk to you, I thought was outrageous at the time. And this is going back maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I haven't gone down to New York in quite a while, but they were there for about 6 months every time I had traveled down to New York, stopping cars and just asking, are you an American citizen? Which I could not understand how it could come to this point in our country that they have to stop cars, you know, and if they have any questions regarding how you answer, pull you over and ask to see more identification. That, to me, would seem unconstitutional.
I remember doing a story in Jamaica, and I started doing promotions in Jamaica for the sandals company that mm-hmm. has the all-inclusives. So I would take, of course, they're not going to, what do you think, they're going to send me home in the morning, how would I say, the morning first class? No, they're going to send me at the 2 a.m., the red eye
mm-hmm.
coach. So I'm coming in, I'm exhausted, and my goodness, how they examined my bag. And what is that? And why do your eyes look like that? And I said, I haven't slept in 25 hours. Why? I've had to turn in 6 stories. Where? In Jamaica. And here it is. Here are the locations. Here are the contact people at the different sandals hotels. And they were now promoting not just sandals, but they were also promoting the one where they have the children. I forget what the name was. But they were promoting their other properties. And I gave him the list. I showed him I said, here's the itinerary. There are the contact numbers. Not only would they not call them to verify it, they also insisted on going through all the handbags. And I said, please, of course, feel free. And they were more annoyed with me that they didn't find anything than if they had found something. They were annoyed. They were looking for something, anything. And what are these pills? I said, that's my birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a choice in that. If I don't take that, I could, you know, wind up with a difficulty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to hear it. And what are these? I said, you can see from the packaging, they're Bayer aspirin. See, two of them come in the little envelope.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bayer. It's see how it's sealed. But accusatory, showing me the Bayer aspirin as though I could, like, what are these?
I know.
That type of tone. What are these? And I said, these are Bayer aspirin.
I understand they have a job to do in protecting travelers on a plane. However, they're going beyond reason in looking at children, small children too much, and the elderly and everything else, instead of the people that would obviously stand out, and because our society has become so politically correct, you know, they don't want to maybe take aside the person that does look like a potential terrorist. For some reason, they seem to think that if the terrorists were going to do something, they would use a child or an elderly person. And, you know, it's we've given up so much liberty in this whole pursuit that it's gotten almost ridiculous now in how they're overreacting to this whole thing.
This is a civil liberties issue. This is not even a sexual violation. This is a civil liberties situation. I was very concerned that as I saw, little by little, I saw the Occupy Wall Street, it became more quiet, until we heard nothing about it. Meanwhile, it was raging all over the country and all over the world. But
why don't they
want
people to film? You should have a right to have a camera phone or something and film what goes on. In some places, the police will come and confiscate your phone or whatever, for whatever reason, because they don't want themselves filmed doing what they're doing. If they're doing nothing wrong and they're going by protocol and by their job, there should be no problem with being filmed by a citizen doing their job.
And Green Dog is asking about why are people complaining about the union. The reason this is coming up with the union, why they're challenging the policemen's union, is because these young women followed protocol. They went to the authorities and said, we would like to file a complaint. We've been violated. And instead of taking their complaints and embracing them and consoling them and saying, this happened. When did it happen?
Right.
Oh, my God, how awful. Or saying something to saying anything to console them, they were threatened again.
Right.
They were told, oh, if you file this and we find that you're lying, we will arrest you.
They use intimidation tactics. This has been, again, a common practice that seems to happen when these cases similar to this come up.
Are you familiar with any other cases that are similar to this?
There was a case I had seen about a week or two ago, where a gentleman was getting out of his car. I'd have to, again, look it up online. And there were police officers, and he didn't appear to have a weapon or anything else. And because he got out of his car and didn't put his hands up fast enough, they shot him. And I don't believe any weapon or anything was recovered after the shooting. Again, this has been, I see these all the time in the news, and it just, you know, I posted the stories to my Facebook page and said, you know, what do people think? Is this right? You know, there was an incident of a mentally ill man. It was in California, and they came up and subdued him so brutally when he was not putting up
any resistance.
Fight, no resistance, and he died. This was a homeless man that had been diagnosed as being mentally ill or schizophrenic, but it was videotaped, again, either by a security camera up on a bank or something outside, and it came to, and I watched the whole thing, and this man gave absolutely no resistance to these police officers in any way, shape, or form to have been beaten, handcuffed, and then beaten more after he was
Kelly
pursued.
Thomas? Was it Kelly Thomas?
That was Kelly Thomas. That's the name.
This was May 9th, and it says, disgusting brutality of a homeless man in California.
That's the story. I had seen that, and I watched the entire
who
video,
later
and I found it
died
appalling.
Of his injuries.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. You're right. It's so hard to watch, because they're literally beating him
with the clubs, everything else. And you can see he's not.
God.
And he's yelling out, if I'm not mistaken, he's yelling out father or daddy or something, because he's mentally unwell. And he's not perceiving what's going on. But you could see he's not resisting them in any way, shape, or form. So I don't understand.
Oh, my gosh. If anyone hasn't seen this, you must go see it. In fact, I'm going to take the link and I'm putting it right in the chat room there, so you could see it. This is heartbreaking.
People should see this and see what is going on, because unless you're looking at the news every day,
gosh.
I'm retired and I have time to browse the news online and read these stories, and I see a lot of it going on, and I don't see the national news covering a lot of these stories. So if you're not seeing it online in a chat room or something else, you wouldn't know this is going on to the degree that it is in our country.
I'm watching them beat him with the silver flashlight. They're beating him over the head. I'm mm-hmm. not surprised he died.
And he's not resisting, correct?
No, no, he's not. He's a man of limited capacity. There's
mm-hmm.
no question.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not their camera. This seems to be a security camera that's affixed to the building.
Right. They
so
weren't aware that
yeah,
they were being videotaped.
They didn't know that this was being... Oh, look at his face. Oh, my God.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Did you see his face?
Mm-hmm.
You saw that picture?
I've watched the video. I watched it a few times when I came across it a few months ago, and that's
well,
why it
I'm
stuck
putting,
in my mind.
I'm putting it in. There's a picture of his face. They're showing the before picture. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a redhead. And then they're showing the picture after he was brutalized by the police officers, and his face is unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
He's brutalized beyond measure. They knocked his teeth out with the... Oh, my word.
I'm not sure what the psychological profiling tests are to become a police officer these days is, but it seems that there are people being hired or allowed into the force that have some kind of authority issues or something that are using excessive force in cases that do not require force at all. You know, a lot of people have been tasered that have not resisted and whatnot just because they spoke back to the officer or something else. And a lot of these people from the tasering have died. If you look up online how many people have actually died from being tasered by the police, it's a considerable number. You know, it doesn't just disable people. It has killed quite a few people.
I saw that they tasered a woman at the airport. And you know what it turned out to be? She didn't speak English. She was a Russian woman.
That's right.
And they killed her.
She died. Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. That was just within the last week or two, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was a couple of months ago. Unless it's happened again, that's a possibility.
I'm not sure, but that's another story I had seen where the woman did not understand them, and because she didn't respond quickly enough to their demands, they tasered her, and she died.
Now, what happens in the case of a person who suffers, say, heart disease? For instance, I had a heart attack. Now, what happens when I'm ill, I cannot talk. You know, mm-hmm. when I've had, oh, my gosh. They are literally, and this is a long video that goes on and on and on. I put it in the chat room for anyone who hasn't seen it.
You know, the other story I'm thinking of that you just brought to mind, and I didn't look it up, but I just remembered the details. There
Tell
was a
me,
woman,
and I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can. I'm sure if you put the right key. There was a woman, and it was in the last week or two, that was in, I believe, an Apple store or a store where she was trying to buy numerous cell phones. And the police came in. She did not speak English. And because she didn't speak English and didn't respond right away, they tasered her. I don't remember if she died or not, but I remember reading the story and thinking to myself, why couldn't a couple of big, bulky police officers simply manhandle this woman and put handcuffs on her? Why did they have to resort to tasering this woman to get her out of the store?
This is amazing.
Because I don't recall her putting up any physical resistance. She just didn't respond quickly enough to their demands, and it was because she didn't speak English well enough and understand what they were asking her to do.
Oh my gosh.
Are you able to find that?
I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Cops taser Chinese woman who can't speak English for trying to buy too many iPhones. So she wasn't trying to steal. She was trying to buy them. She had the money.
Right.
They used a stun gun.
And they suspected, again, with the terrorist activities, that somebody's buying cell phones and using them for nefarious purposes. You know, if you win, I guess you buy more than one phone or a couple right away.
New Hampshire.
Alarm.
That's where you're from.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
That's why you know the story so well. There it goes.
It might have been a local story, but I did read it.
Yeah, it was. It's a local. It just happened a week ago.
Right.
Nashville, New Hampshire. Police used a stun gun on a Chinese woman who does not speak English after she was told to leave an Apple store because she was trying to buy too many iPhones. Zhuo Li, 44, was shopping for iPhones for family members in China at the Pheasant Lane Mall in Nashua. Oh, she was buying the iPhones for her relatives in China to send them home.
Mm-hmm.
In Nashua, when she was told to leave the Apple store because she was trying to purchase too many of the phones. Store policy limits customers to two phones each. Lee claims she saw other customers buying multiple iPhones, and she attempted to record video of them doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she had them dead to rights. Again, when you have, I'm telling you, having that the ability to film things on the spot is very helpful. But this is look at the response. The police were providing security for the Apple store. They got involved after Lee allegedly refused to leave the store after being repeatedly asked to do so by employees. Police claimed that Lee resisted when officers attempted to arrest her, and that's when they decided to use a taser on her.
Mm-hmm. My question is, why can't a couple of police officers, who I assume are physically capable of putting handcuffs on this woman and just escorting her out of the store? What is the necessity for using the taser?
Officers feel challenged when even a person doesn't understand. If you recall, that fellow, the Russian fellow at the airport, was tasered and killed. He hadn't eaten in 18 hours. He had missed his flight.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how to get another flight. The people at the desk didn't speak Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing there crying. He was absolutely hysterical. He was starving. He was exhausted. He didn't speak the language. And they tasered him and he died.
You know, overall, I think the police in our country do a good job. Most of them are responsible. They're prudent. They know their limits. But for some reason, and I don't know why, I'm seeing more of these stories where quite a few police officers are resorting to a greater force than I believe is required in the situation to subdue people, and it's resulting in serious injuries and even deaths in too many cases where it never should have happened. And I don't know why this seems to be occurring more so now than in the past.
I think because TSA has hired people, as they did in the past, who were, how would I say, well-educated and equipped to go ahead and handle this at a regular basis, but not in the case where regular folk might be going through.
Right.
I think that if they find themselves either psychologically challenged by the person, or, I'm sorry, but it's the green monster. Sometimes men and women experience jealousy, and they choose to, you know, they're very upset that this person is traveling and here they are stuck in this job. Mm-hmm. And they choose to make a decision that's going to be almost basically assaulting.
Right.
And there's the woman. She didn't die, but she wants to go home. She wants to leave China because she feels her civil rights were violated completely. She wants to go back to China. She's lost all her sense of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I think the use of force is necessary in some cases, but I think that it's being used too much in cases that, you know, can best be handled either psychologically, diplomatically, or with minimum force to subdue the person and then just take them in. You don't have to shoot people that are unarmed. You don't have to beat people that are already handcuffed on the ground.
And she had $16,000 in cash, in other words, in order to pay for the phones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like she had stolen money or drug money. This is legitimate money that she's going to purchase these particular phone. She wants the best, and she's sending it back home.
Right.
To China. And basically, she was brutalized over it.
Well,
so
again,
the idea that she was videotaping people leaving and purchasing more phones, something that she's been told she can't do.
Can't do. Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure they punish her, because who does she think
she
is?
She questioned them, right.
How dare she?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I remember at 3 and 4 in the morning when I'd come in from Jamaica that I was particularly quiet and subdued. I didn't want to anger these people, the TSA people, because I was thinking, oh, they're going through let them go through all my handbags. The next thing I know, they're going to be, you know, doing one of those searches on me. And I said, you can see from my little tiny dress that I can't possibly hide anything in any aspect, but any medication I have here, I have prescriptions for it, and this is all normal stuff. Well, why do your eyes look like that? I said, I'm exhausted. I haven't slept in a day and a half.
Right.
I'm really exhausted. And I kept speaking as calmly as I could so that it would not escalate.
Right.
I was afraid of them. I have to admit, I was afraid that they would hurt me.
Well, that's how they operate. A lot of it is intimidation, and it's not supposed to be that way. If you treat people at any of these places with mutual respect, they'll respond with mutual respect. However, if you make people nervous, of course they're going to start acting nervous, and it's going to set off an alarm in the person doing the inspection that something's wrong. Well, you know, it could be a natural reaction to just being pressured for no apparent reason.
Yes.
You know,
now,
and they overreact in many of these cases.
Now,
they don't want to be the ones to let somebody through that should have been stopped. But at the same time, they need people to be trained a lot better and with a better psychological profile to have these jobs, to do the interviews and speak to people so that they can get, you know, to the bottom of what their job is supposed to be, which is keep the roads and the planes and everything else secure. They're intimidating people beyond their authority.
BART,
that's
does anybody know where that is? BART, police officer caught on camera, controversial Oscar Grant killing. We were just, Green Dog just mentioned the Oscar Grant killing, so I went to look it up, and my gosh, no wonder.
Is this the one when the gentleman got out of the car that I was talking about earlier?
BART, BART Station.
I have to look it up again. I saw this a few
weeks
back.
That's okay. I'm going to put it right in the, it's 1 million views. My gosh. 1,300,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am. TSA is about intimidating. Politicians are bringing union jobs to their districts. Yes, I guess he's right. Here's the link in the chat room of BART. There's 1,300,000 views of this video.
Was this in Oakland?
I'm not sure, actually.
I'm showing one.
Yes,
you're
absolutely right. It's Oakland, California.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's from 2009 is the date they're giving, January 1st, 2009.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, this is outrageous.
It's like I said, if you start looking or if you read the news on a daily basis, you'll see these stories turning up with quite a few of these incidents. And the thing is, the police try to intimidate either the witnesses or whatever,
yes,
to not press charges and all, when the police are obviously, and they're on, you know, desk duty of this and that until an investigation is held. And the worst that comes of most of these violations is that these police officers keep their job and on desk duty for 6 months. There's no prosecution that I can see of most of these officers going beyond their authority.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
None at all?
None that I can remember. If you do a Google search or look online and do a follow-up on how these cases turned out,
yes,
a lot of these officers, there was another story, another one just came to mind, where a couple of male police officers were beating up on somebody. I have to look this one up. And a female police officer, who I believe was lesbian, stepped in, which has something to do with the story here, and stopped these officers from beating up on somebody, which was obviously wrong to the extent that they were doing it. And she got fired. And it came out later that there was a lot of prejudicial activity in the police department against this police officer because she happened to be gay. So they were more or less looking for an excuse. But if you look at the whole story, what she did in stepping in and stopping her fellow male police officer from beating up on a person unnecessarily,
yes,
was the right thing to do.
So she did the right thing morally, but then they retaliated. Yeah, they retaliated.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is amazing. What recommendations do you have? What recommendations would you offer?
It's very hard because, you know, it's the thin blue line and how they stick together and do not prosecute their own because they don't wish police officers to feel they don't have a camaraderie, you know, having each other's back. However, you know, when they start acting with such excessive force, they're going to lose the support of the citizenry, which is what they really have their authority on. They work for us, protect and serve. They're not supposed to be hurting people that are not outright violent or resisting or anything else. And it seems to be happening way too much where it's putting a little fear into people to even deal with police officers, not knowing if the officer is going to be reasonable or, you know, on an authoritarian trip.
And I was very shocked when I saw what had happened in Connecticut, saw that, again, it was a person involved. It was a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the sales of assault weapons spiked until they emptied the store.
I had seen that. See, that's the fear that's being implanted into the American public today with not being secure in knowing that, you know, our police and other authority figures are on our side.
And Green Dog says, and this is a very good point, Green Dog, he agrees to some degree, but he can't place all policemen in the category. Absolutely, we are not placing all law enforcement officers in the category of rogue cops.
I had stated that earlier in this conversation.
Absolutely.
I think the majority of police officers are professional, respectful, and do their job, but for whatever reason, there seem to be more of these stories coming to light in, say, the last couple of years, and I don't know why.
I'm not sure what's happening. I don't know if it's that they don't want to deal with the realities. This is a reality. We are having women assaulted simply because he thinks they were smoking pot? He thinks?
Mm-hmm.
How ridiculous is that?
Hold on one second. Ella wants to say something.
Certainly.
Hi.
Ella, I can't thank you enough for calling in. I am so grateful. You are such a good contributor, and so is it is
Neil.
I'm so grateful to you both.
Oh, well, thank you. I wish it was a different topic we were talking about, but this one got heated up a little bit in the chat room. But I wanted to make a correction. Green Dog did not say that he cannot place all policemen in the category. I said that. When we're going back and forth with that. That's why I wanted to make that clear. He's placing them all in where I'm not. And it's just like you can't paint a hole on a few actions, bad actions.
Of course not.
You know, and for every bad police story out there that involve police brutality and what have you, there are good stories too. Of course, those don't get reported. So we, you know, this show is about two or three bad officers, troopers to be exact, and that's what this topic is about, not to bash the entire police force.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I live in Florida right now, where we have something called the Stand Your Ground Law, which has created controversy here unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We're dealing with...
Now, what does that involve?
The first case was when George Zimmerman was an off-duty patrol, a volunteer
right
watchman. in mm-hmm. his own neighborhood. He's a volunteer and he's a watchman, and he's prohibited from carrying a weapon, but he was carrying a weapon nonetheless.
Right.
And a teenager who was visiting happened to be walking through the back sides and the alleys between the houses and such, and they got into nobody knows who did what or who said what first. The point is, the 17-year-old ended dead, and
right.
it turned out that George Zimmerman was carrying a concealed weapon, and now this is almost a year later, another 17-year-old mm-hmm. is in a car with three other fellows.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting in a car at a gas station, but they're playing very loud music.
Mm-hmm.
And another car pulls up and tells them to lower the music. They say no, and he opened fire.
Mm.
He said he was in fear for his life and that he saw a shotgun. Needless to say, all witnesses who watched this saw no shotgun. No shotgun was found in the car.
Mm.
What they found was a 17-year-old with two bullets in him.
Mm.
So these are two very significant. They're going to have to revisit this stand your ground law. It's very southern.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm from Tennessee originally, so I understand what you say. What you mean when you say that?
Yeah,
exactly.
And
well,
I'm from Manhattan, so I have a totally different viewpoint. Now I'm down here.
Live there too.
Yeah. And I'm seeing the difference. You know, we're in the South, and we got to be real careful because
big difference.
Big difference.
Well, I will say this. The times are completely different now. And when, I don't know how old you are, but when we were growing up, there was a certain way we dressed. And I know you shouldn't judge a person by how they dress, how they talk, what music they listen to, how they walk, da-da-da-da. But at the same time, in the days that we are in now, it is important to dress like a decent citizen. I'm talking with the baggy jeans look, and I don't want to come across as a hypocrite. I mean, you should be able to wear anything. But with the times, I'm saying, and in certain areas, if you walk like a duck, look like a duck, you might get mistaken as a duck, is what I'm saying. And I think a lot of this is, if for instance, if I lived in an area, a more urban area. I'm in the country right now where there's a population of 200 people, so I don't have that problem. But I came from L.A., and there were certain areas I knew the worst areas that over some other, the better areas. And
yes.
When I was in the bad areas, I knew not I knew a certain way to carry myself, if that makes any sense. Because that's not going to bring attention to me. That's not going to make me suspicious looking. That's not going to do this and not going to do that. And in this day and time, you have to be able to do that because it's scary out there. And I'm not a police officer, but I'm looking at from the police, some policemen's eyes, and they're out there fighting for their lives every day. Every time they're on the clock could be the next minute they're off and dead. Whether it's someone shot them because they don't like them. I mean, they get a really bad, they have a bad time. So, I mean, we have to, I'm not taking up for these three troopers that did this to these two ladies at all. I think they should pay and justice should prevail. What they did was wrong, and they should be shown an example for the others so that more people should come out and not be afraid and be heard and out these people, these bad officers. And maybe these two ladies that went through this horrendous nightmare will open that up for a lot of people where this won't happen to the next person or the next woman or the next man. Doesn't even have to be just a woman. So...
And this is marvelous, these ideas that you have, because... I wish we had you on the grand jury.
I don't know about that.
these are very important ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Florida, well, I, I'm I'm actually covering the George Zimmerman case, so I can't really take sides either way. I can't take, you know, I can't come down on either side. I really cannot. It wouldn't be fair and it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right. Understandable.
But I do see that case, and now I see this new case. This totally separate case. This is the second case. In fact, the story that we're doing is with a high-level law enforcement officer from that region and a doctor of osteopathy, one of our members here, Dr. Kevin McGuire. What the story that we're doing is about the losses, the emotional and financial and social standing losses experienced by both the plaintiff and his or her family, as well as the defendant and his or her family, because it changes your life completely.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yeah.
And what they go through and, the losses that they suffer. And that's going to be the focus of our article. We will be releasing it in late January, because it's so long, it's going to take about, it's taken about 3 hours worth of recording. And we're not going to open that discussion to the public, because it's not about emotional issues. As this, you know, I see the chat room is going bananas.
Yeah, it was getting pretty heated there, but that's okay. It's nothing wrong with a little friendly debate, and we can sometimes agree to disagree. That's fine.
Absolutely. But noticing that we're having a big difficulty with the stand your ground cases, and here in this article, this writer writes about five stand your – it's very, very interesting. He says five stand your ground cases that you should know about. He says, and this is his subtitle, a mentally disabled man killed at Taco Bell, a stabbing death over car radios, and more aftermath from the radical gun law now in 25 states. Did you realize that the stand your ground law exists in 25 states? I didn't even know that.
I did not know that either. I did not know that. Wow.
And it says that this story first appeared in ProPublica website. ProPublica. For related coverage, see Mojo reporter Adam Weinstein's piece on how the NRA and ALEC pushed Stand Your Ground nationwide and used this alternative map to track the gun's rapid increase, the gun laws. I'm going to put this map
in the chat. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wait till you see that.
Wow.
Oh, my word.
And
yes.
It's effective in 25 states.
Yes, and there's the map showing. From
2005 to these two women, I'm sorry, I can't remember their names, and I'm not in front of the computer. Where do they stand now? Have they gone to trial? Is it going to trial? Can you?
It's being the tape, of course, and the women's testimony. I mean, the tape is so
clear.
You can see that the woman never changes her glove. She does anal, vaginal, and then she uses the same. First of all, she's introducing fecal bacteria into the vagina. And
right, exactly, yeah. You don't even do that at the doctor's office. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You can't even do that in the hallway at the hospital.
Right.
Here, they're doing the same, and then the same glove for the other one. This is amazing.
One second.
Hi, it's Neil again.
Neil, please, jump in here. This is a wonderful contribution both of you are making.
I just took a moment to look up that case I was trying to remember online.
Tell us about it.
The woman's name is Regina Tasca, T-A-S-C-A, female police officer, and the incident took place in Bogota, New Jersey. If you Google that and look that up, and I believe...
Give me her name again.
Regina Tasca, T-A-S-C-A.
I see. You're absolutely right. There it is.
Now, read through the story. The mother had called the police to assist with her son, who was being a little bit violent and whatnot. And when the two police officers showed up, the male police, they began to subdue the man violently and without, you know, real necessity. The other police officer, who happened to be a woman, stepped in and stopped them from beating up on this man.
And as a result,
she was fired.
Yes, I see that. Because she was basically avoiding police brutality, basically.
Right. She was the moral imperative there to stop this from going beyond what was necessary. And as a result of her interfering, they fired her. But it, from what everything I read in the story, she did the correct thing.
The article states, what horrible thing did she do to get fired? She defended a helpless person.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
My gosh. It's just so horrific.
And again, these are isolated cases, as Ella has pointed out, but the ones that are coming to light need to be brought, you know, into the public spotlight, and this needs to be discussed, and measures need to be put in to stop this abuse and from this happening as much as it is happening.
This is unbelievable. So they basically ended her law enforcement career because they didn't like that she was defending an innocent member of the public.
Correct.
So in trying to get rid of her before, because they didn't care to have a lesbian cop on the force.
That's the way it's right. It looks.
They used this instead.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of her sexual, you know, identity. She did the right thing. She stepped in and she stopped these men from beating up on this man that was already subdued. And she did what a police officer is supposed to do. And for her doing her job correctly, she was fired.
Yes, clearly.
Now, why didn't the police union stand behind her in this instance?
Because that's another aspect of law enforcement that people really don't want to deal with, the fact that the old guard,
mm-hmm.
the old boys club, they really don't want women there at
mm-hmm.
all.
Right.
They don't want gay men or women there at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to observe the civil liberties of a person that thinks or behaves or lives differently than they do.
Mm-hmm. The question is, can you do your job? That's all. Can you climb, you know, for the fire department or any other job, I don't care if you're a woman or whatever, a man, if you can meet the requirements of carrying a 100-pound sack up and down a ladder efficiently as anybody else, you should have the job. I don't care about anything else. Do you meet the job requirements?
I absolutely agree.
And this woman did her job, as far as I'm concerned, and she did the morally right thing, and for it, she was rewarded with losing her job. Now, what does that say to anybody else that's going to step in and try to stop their fellow officers from abusing their power? They're going to be afraid of losing their job. They're going to just stand aside or look the other way, and that's not right.
We've got to make a statement. We've got to stand up and not accept this behavior, because once you accept it from one, you're going to see it again and again and again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
So. Now, this is going to be quite something. It's going up before the grand jury in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This case not going away.
It's been publicized. I mean, this story has been on mainstream media news. So again, people need to maybe hear about a story like this and then go back as we did tonight and look at the prevalence of this happening across our country and other places and say, hey, this is an issue we have to address and deal with now before it gets out of control even more.
I remember years ago there was a police officer that would, no, excuse me, Yes, it was. He was a police officer, and he would basically pull women over and tell them that they wouldn't get in trouble if they had sex with them. And the women, no one believed the women.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe them. They actually didn't believe them.
I know.
And here, it's just, this is getting very, very serious. If you have a mother or a sister or a daughter, it can happen to any of them.
Did you happen to see the story yesterday where a gentleman had an iPhone delivered in the morning from FedEx, and a UPS driver came later that day at 1:30. I think the original delivery of the iPhone was at 9:30. A UPS driver came to drop off a package at 1:30.
Yes.
And when the man got home, he noticed his package was showing online as delivered, but it was gone. He just happened to have a video camera installed in the roof over his porch, and he went back and reviewed it. The UPS driver stole his FedEx package with the iPhone.
This is amazing.
It's on videotape. You can find it on YouTube or whatever. The man put it, because he wouldn't get any response when he called UPS up. They said, it never happened. It wasn't our driver. We don't want to see the film. The guy said, fine, I'm putting it up on YouTube. After that, they called him and they apologized and they said, wow, we're sorry. What can we do? But they were going to blow this guy off for reporting the driver for stealing his package, his you know, several $100 iPhone. And it was obvious because he had it on tape. So.
Oh, my gosh. And I saw a week or so ago that one of them, I guess he said he was losing his mind. He was under such pressure that he was kicking boxes, deliveries out of the car, literally kicking them out to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a story, Ella, when was that story with the bus driver that hit that woman on the bus? That was another one where the driver just lost it. I forget where it was, but he had an unruly passenger who was being abusive and spitting on him. And finally, because he was trying to drive the bus with this abusive woman, and they got on, he hit her. And I don't know if he knocked her out or anything, but, you know, you look at the videotape and you say, geez, you know, what could this driver do? He's trying to control a bus. He's got and he wound up hitting this woman, you know, with a fist in the face and knocking her down. He lost his temper. But, you know, in these situations, you have to put yourself in their position and you know, wonder what pushed people to do these things. You have people stealing packages, you know, people you trust to just deliver them, and you have bus drivers snapping and hitting passengers on the bus. The society seems to be getting more and more manic. And from people that are in positions of so-called responsibility or snapping as well, or just using bad judgment.
Yeah, it's Cleveland, Ohio, and it's an uppercut.
It's an uppercut. You can forget.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. But if you read what led up to this.
Yeah, I see that. It's such a minor incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a minor. My objection has been lately to programs that glorify the absolute verbal abuse of people, young women, one to another. I watch things like the NBA Housewives and the reality stars and the horrific way they talk to one another and the horrific way that they treat one another. I watched them jumping up, like the Housewives of Atlanta, they were jumping on tables and jumping down and assaulting one another, and they can't get through a conversation without being completely vulgar and violent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, young kids, young girls are watching this thinking that's normal behavior, and you shouldn't be surprised when your kid, who's being babysat by, not by you, the parent, but by television, starts assaulting her co-students and her teachers at school, and even yourself as a parent, you can't get upset when that's all they see, and they think if it's normal on TV, it's got to be normal. It's something I can do.
Right. Absolutely.
I saw one was being counseled on TV the other day by Oprah Winfrey's guru gal, and she was saying to the one that's very violent, who used to be an NBA, she's an ex-wife of an NBA player, mm-hmm. and she's known, and the woman was saying to her, you are known as a thug amongst women. And I thought, what a great statement, a thug amongst women.
Mm-hmm.
He was so proud to be a thug.
It's a badge of honor today.
Yeah, but I wonder, what about the lawsuit? Doesn't Bravo Television have to concern itself with something like these lawsuits? Don't they have to? Aren't these people going to sue eventually? I would think so.
I don't know. Violence seems to have become so prevalent on TV, and with the video games. You know, again, going back to a lot of the violence that's occurring in our society, it seems to have really picked up in occurrence in, say, the last 20 years in consistency and just the overall violence that is more and more. I don't think it's that it's being publicized more. I think it's actually occurring more. And the question we have to ask ourselves as a society is why? What's the reason for so much anger and belief that you can just resort to violence when you're angry over something instead of either walking away or dealing with it in a more civilized manner? You know, video games, I'm sure, have some part to play because we've become desensitized from both the television violence and the video to actual real-life violence. So, you know, our society needs to take a really hard look into its soul now and try to identify the causes, not just the symptoms, but the causes of why we're starting to become so violent as a society and stressed out. There's something going on here, and it needs to be brought out in the open, admitted, and then discussed.
And how do we handle something as violent as what's happening now when these girls are promoting it, absolutely promoting it on television? And I'm sorry, but Bravo has a lot to do with it. And to compete for ratings, I mean, everybody thought, oh, we need cable. We need it 24 hours a day. And now cable has no content.
Mm-hmm.
And Newsweek, for instance, you know Newsweek is closing their doors this week.
They just, I think, published the last issue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going completely online, but there's no content. So they're using anything that's violent and provocative, they're using it. And they're competing, and I was very disappointed to see that the Learning Channel is now coming up with reality shows that do the same thing. They bring in so much revenue, and they're so cheap to make.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, you know, once you get to a certain point, what do you do for an encore?
That's exactly it. And by the way, are you still playing?
No, I have not really had much opportunity to pick up my guitar or play in the last few years. Why do you ask?
Because when you play, if you tell us, we want to promote you, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
We promote the McEwen Session when they are having their programs. We promote any musician
mm-hmm.
that's going to be performing somewhere. We absolutely promote musicians. We love to do that, and we actually live stream some performances right on syndicatednews.net.
Well, that's one of the nice things about the mass media and the internet now also is that it gives a lot of smaller artists the opportunity to reach a larger audience on their own without having to go through a lot of the big companies and whatnot. If you're an artist and you want to get your paintings out there with a website or your music out there with a MySpace page or something, the internet has really helped a lot of people in the artistic community to get exposure for their artwork and their creativity, which I think is a great thing.
Yes, we do virtual gallery walks. And we discuss, we have the paintings on a website, and then we will discuss. For instance, if you go to syndicatednews.net, you'll see that on the left there is a banner called, it's purple. It's a
mm-hmm.
purple one. And it's Alive on South Beach. And that's the two artists. That's Dina Stewart and Stewart B. Stewart, and they're both artists and educators, and they teach young people. They have a whole program where they teach young people how to use art rather than acting out, because when they suffer, for instance, when they suffered Katrina, mm-hmm. it wasn't until two or three months later that the teenagers started rebelling and acting out. And the same will happen in the north, where we suffered from Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many of those teenagers have never seen in their lifetime, in their lives, they've never seen a natural disaster.
Right.
And they're going to react in a very, very strong manner. That's going, and I can guarantee that, because that's what happens. And the programs that they have, if you go to the Purple Pages at syndicatednews.net, you'll notice that on the front page, it's called the South Beach Front Page. There are links there to not only the interviews about their sessions, but you can see the galleries and galleries of artwork that they have. And by the way, everybody, all their artwork is for sale. It's all priced and it's all quite clear. Phone numbers are abound. So if there's anything there that interests you, just call up. They are not fussy and they're not selfish. If someone really wants a painting and it's up there, they sell it. So
very nice.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask. Do ask, because we've done several virtual walkthroughs, and we've had, in fact, all you have to do if you go to YouTube is say virtual art gallery and type syndicatednews.net, and you'll see that you'll see the artists that we've promoted. And it's very interesting to promote an artist, because we're not physically in the gallery. Sometimes the gallery is maybe, you know, 20 states away.
It's virtual.
It's amazing that people respond to it beautifully. They really are interested in artwork that is unique. One of the Stewart's pieces was made into a postcard by UNICEF. And it's a Christmas tree, in fact, and it's in the Purple Pages of syndicatednews.net. And another thing we'll announce here is that Ian Williams, reporter for the United Nations, has joined syndicatednews.net. He continues to work at the United Nations, but he is now also a correspondent for syndicatednews.net, and so too is Eduardo Quesada and Roberto Arguello from Telemundo and Univision. They were very well known there, and I wanted Roberto Arguello, who's got 20 years in police enforcement in law enforcement in California. I wanted him to join us, but he's on the road. He's traveling in Central America, so he couldn't really join us, and he didn't have anyone. We didn't plan this show. This show was thrown together. When I saw that article, I realized we have to stop everything and take the time to have a discussion about this travesty, because I'm not talking about what's going on. There was a gang rape in India, and the reaction among the public was fantastic. 10,000 people came forward to protest. Yeah. Men and women, the brutality of women. They want to change that society around. And here we are, a modern progressive country in the West, and we're having this happen at the hands of a police officer.
And these are not political issues in that it's left versus right, or,
it's
a human dignity issue that both sides and people from both political ideologies should be able to get behind and agree upon.
Absolutely. This is a woman's dignity.
Right.
I would have to be afraid now of I don't want to visit Irving either. I didn't want to. I boycotted Arizona because of that nonsense of asking everyone for papers, and I won't subject myself to that, so I just won't visit Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will not go to Irving, Texas either. I don't want that. Oh, my goodness. What if they think, what if it's a cricket, and they think it's a, oh, my gosh, it's another cigarette butt, and they think it, and we have to all experience that horror. I wouldn't be able to stand it.
Well, these incidents, again, are going to have economic ramifications if people will stop going to these locations because they're afraid for their own personal safety. You know, and maybe that's all they'll understand is when people will stop, you know, patronizing these cities and these locations because they have legitimate fear that this could happen to them.
This is just outrageous. Here's, another civil rights case. State troopers for police misconduct. Civil rights suit against state troopers for police misconduct during a routine traffic stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a very, very serious matter.
It's, like I said, with the internet and YouTube and other things, a lot of these isolated cases have been brought to the public's attention to a limited degree, but more so than before, where a story like this might only be published in the local paper.
This was in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And she won millions. Miss Wade won millions for, and that was just excessive force. That didn't even involve a cavity search.
Mm-hmm.
He opens her car door, and he's literally pulling her, and there she is sitting with her husband, who's a former police officer. They're literally, oh, my gosh. As I see these, they're so shocking. I'm going to put this one as well in here. Here it is. I put it in the chat. I put the link in the chat room. That is amazing that they would be so violent for so
little.
For so little.
Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous violence. That's outrageous at the face. I just don't. What are they thinking? What are they thinking?
You don't know, again, what is going through the minds of some of these officers that are resorting to a more violent means to subdue people and to get them to behave than is really required by the situation that you can, you know, as a viewer, watch on a videotape and say, what could have possibly have transpired here for the officer to be reacting in such a violent and forceful way to what appears to be something that could be handled a lot easier and with either, you know, verbal diplomacy or minimum force.
I was just invited. What time of the day is it? It's 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I was just invited to cover the case in Webster, New York, where the firefighters.
I saw that today. Yeah, that's one thing where you can't understand. You know, Ella was saying before.
What went on there? Does anyone have any idea what went on there?
I read the story earlier tonight. Firefighters went to a scene of a fire, and 62 years old, year old man started firing. I believe he killed two people, two firefighters, and two others were wounded. And they found a body in his house who they believed to be his sister. The man was a felon. He had been, I believe, in jail for 18 years, and still he had weapons in his possession. Obviously, he was off balance, but why did this man? I think he had a Bushmaster 223 rifle, which is one of the same weapons used in the Connecticut.
Exactly the same, 223 caliber, yep. Semi-automatic Bushmaster rifle with a flash suppression, the
mm-hmm.
same make and caliber weapon used in the elementary school massacre in Newtown, Connecticut last
right.
week.
Now, how did this man get his hands on this rifle if he was a felon? He should not have been with any weapons. whatsoever if our system was working correctly. Of course, he could have bought it illegally on the street, but why did this person have this weapon?
And given the distance, they say, they believe he had to be shooting from the roof of the house.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a firefighter, you go to a fire, you don't expect somebody to be firing a rifle at you when you come to put out a home fire. Totally unexpected. One firefighter, I believe, was 19, and the other one might have been 32 or 42. You know, what a horrible, horrible tragedy for their families.
Two of the firefighters are in... They're hospitalized, and two passed away. They were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And what could he have had against the fire department?
I don't know a motive or anything else. I did not see any explanation of a possible motive for this person other than they were crazy.
And it's interesting. A neighbor says, oh, he was a doting son, always doting on his mother. He loved his mama to death, but then the relatives say he hated his mother. He couldn't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed on one side of the house and she stayed on the other. They had stopped communicating. They weren't even on speaking terms.
Right. But, you know, as Ella pointed out earlier, today when you're a firefighter or a police officer, you should not have to go to a response and worry right away whether some body who's hidden is going to shoot you for doing a simple job like, you know, putting out a home fire. That's concerning as well.
And I'm wondering now if, yes, you're right, he was 19 years old.
One of the firefighters that was killed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a dispatcher, and he went out. Two dead men were Michael Chaparini, 43, of the Webster Police Department's public information officer, and a 19-year-old Thomas. Wow, how did that happen? Pickering described Chaparini as a lifetime firefighter with nearly 20 years in the department, and he called Kazalka a tremendous young man. He was 19. The two are at Strong Memorial Hospital. The reason I'm invited to cover that story in Rochester, New York, is because I did my internship at WHAM Radio in Rochester, New York, and I lived in Rochester for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've sworn off anything that's going on in the snow. I'd rather continue. No, I really have. I really don't want to go anywhere where there's snow and cold and you have to. I can't handle it.
I'm laughing because we live in northern New Hampshire and you know we already have about a foot and a half of snow on the ground, and it's early yet in the season.
Another
storm coming tomorrow.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean? It's as though you're punished one day. I remember not being able, when I first came from New York City to Rochester, New York, there was a huge snowstorm, and the next thing I knew, the guard, the National Guard, was present in Rochester, New York, and I saw a tank going up the street, and I saw men and women on skis going to the store, and I thought, I don't know how long I can manage. I managed almost 15 years, and I couldn't wait to get somewhere warm.
Understandable.
Yeah. So what do you recommend, Neil? What do you recommend about these two women? I mean, what would you tell – what do you think they should talk – of course these two people should be fired, absolutely. I think there should be criminal charges. I'm sorry.
I think any person in a position of responsibility, whether it's a politician or a police officer, they have to be held to the same standards as the rest of us.
Because I'm not allowed to put my hand in somebody's pants and that. Come on.
Right. I mean, if you even threaten somebody verbally, you can go to jail.
Absolutely. Meanwhile,
so for them to physically manhandle these women. Which in a situation that where their, you know, safety was not involved and the suspected drug or narcotic wasn't anything like heroin or any heavy-duty drugs. It was marijuana, for crying out loud. And
it wasn't marijuana. It was a cigarette butt.
But it's what they claimed they suspected, which is still ridiculous, that they go to that extent to look at these women and through their car and on their person like this for something so trivial.
And I'm having a very serious problem with the fact that in several states, marijuana is now legal. It's legal to grow it. It's legal to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the counties will train you, give you a license, get your business started. They'll give you seed money for the fund.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
And get you on your feet so you can get the business going. Yet the feds can still come and set your whole crop on fire.
Right. You've got two conflicting. Right.
How can we have that? How can we have a state and a war between the states and the feds?
Right.
Does anyone have anything to say about that? What's your opinion on that, Neil or anyone?
Like I said, I don't know if federal law precedes state law on these issues. This is really what, the Civil War was over, was states' rights. And after, the South lost, even though slavery was involved in this, a big part of it was states' rights. And since that occurred, there's been a centralization of our government towards federal power, and the states have kind of lost any authority to run themselves or make their own laws if it conflicts with certain federal laws. So this obviously, again, is coming around again with states trying to assert their autonomy and authority. You've had a couple of states after the election that said they wanted to secede from the Union because they no longer wanted to be part of the United States because of the way they felt the country was going and whatnot. There's a lot of volatility and a lot of anger out in the country right now, and it's all comes back to what's the topic of this discussion was, with people acting erratically, more so than I can remember in the past. So it's a very stressful time. Violently.
Yeah,
there's frustration, there's stress, there's anger. And as you said before, some people can release that in artwork or writing, but then other people who don't have those skills, they're going to release it physically and with, violence. And that could be anybody. That could be police officers. It could be citizens. It could be teenage kids. People don't have an outlet for their frustration and anger right now. And you have to ask, where is the anger coming from, and do we have a better way as a society to exercise this stress and anger than hurting other people?
Oh my gosh, it's just so strong. What's going on in the world is just so strong. How do you fight it? How do you protect women when law enforcement are violating them in the street this way?
Mm-hmm. Again, it's not all, but the selective cases that we've seen are too much already.
That's too invasive, too intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very annoyed and upset by that. I am not happy about it in the least, and I can't feign to think it's going to be a small thing. I don't think it's a small thing. I think it's a horrific thing, and I don't like that it happened at all.
Right.
And for those of you, here's the tape. Those of you that are asking me in the chat room about the tape, here's the tape. Let me put it back in with the proper link. Here's the tape, the videotape that identifies the women who were assaulted by those. There you go. That's got a link. Who were assaulted by the two police officers, those female police officers with the gloves and the basically humiliating them without cause. This is a serious matter. It's gone to the grand jury. That's how serious it is. It's gone to the grand jury, and they're not going to let that go. I'm certain that lawsuits will abound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain. There's no question. And as you can see from the tape, there's no question that this police officer did this. Look at the, and you could, the car's going back and forth. Oh, my gosh.
Well, here's another thing when you have cases like this. And suppose the city or the town loses the case.
Yes.
Where do these women get paid from? Does it come out of the police officer's pocket? Of course not. It comes out of the city's pocket, which, in fact, is the taxpayer's pocket.
Absolutely, the taxpayers will pay for this, for this horrific sexual assault. I'm sorry, but that's what I'm going to call it. I'm mm-hmm. not going to call it a cavity search. I'm going to call it a public sexual assault. I can see the cars slowing down, and you can see the two gals are just normal gals. They don't look like, they don't look low class. They don't look like hookers, and all of their clothing is covering their entire bodies. It's not as though they're wearing, how would I say, low-cut shirts showing their breast
mm-hmm.
or buttocks showing with the short, what do they call those, Daisy Duke shorts? Nothing like that. Both of them are just normal women.
There's no culpability in the people that do this on their own. It would fall upon the city or, you know, the state or whatever to pay whatever fee that the court would decide that these women deserve. Where's the personal accountability for people who violate the law in using their authority? There is none, and that I think is a problem as well.
And in each case, when the state trooper is inserting her hands inside their bodies, in each case the women look away, which is what women do when they're being assaulted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can't believe they're in that situation, and they have no choice emotionally but to look away because the horror of the humiliation. Here they are in a public place with cars going back and forth, and then the cop says very calmly, well, it's because one of you is a daily smoker, so since you smoke, and these gals are attractive young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
These women are attractive. They're not sloppy and ugly. They're not dirty. You can see they're not drug people. You can see these are women that work at their jobs. I don't know what their jobs are, but these are not women. They're not troublemakers. You can see that their clothing is conservative. Even when they're pulled over, they were on their way to Oklahoma.
Right.
It's not as though they were on their way to the hooker convention in Las Vegas.
Like I said, you also have to look at the drug that they claim they were looking for, which is marijuana. I realize it's still illegal, but at the same time, does it demand this degree of a search and everything and the extent that they went to?
No.
Not at all.
If in this day and age, if you have to put gloves on and go into someone's hoochie, you better come out of there with a rifle. You should be pulling grenades out of there.
There
should be some serious, what do they call that? Weapons of mass destruction should be coming out of there. But not just the fact that you've just assaulted someone, and now you go and you're going to assault her niece while you're at it.
Right. And you believe they have contraband, but the nature of the contraband isn't so heinous or reprehensible that it would demand this kind of search
Not only did they not have any contraband, not only did they not have any pot, but then he, of course, he's thinking, well, maybe I can get her drunk. You know, if she's drunk, she'll like keel over or something. And then I got her on intoxication.
Right, DUI. Mm-hmm.
But she was totally sober, completely clear-headed, completely passed the inebriation test.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get her on anything.
Right.
So he says, okay, I'm going to let you go with a warning. Really? You think so?
And how did they get the tape of this off the police department? They had to sue for it, I would imagine.
It was on the car.
Right, but how
did Freedom of Information. They filed a Freedom of Information Act for the tape, and they can't destroy these tapes, apparently.
Right.
So they got it through the Freedom of Information, and they stalled and stalled. They didn't want to give them the tape, and eventually...
It was a smoking gun, of course.
They had to give them the tape. They have the tape. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess these officers thought that these women were just going to drive off and let this be. You know, they didn't realize themselves that they're on videotape.
No, they didn't. It's just they weren't thinking. And I bet you they were. I tell you what they were thinking. We've got this opportunity to take advantage of these two gals,
mm-hmm.
way out here roadside, and they probably. It's not even sexual, but mostly it's a power thing.
Right.
And I think they're getting off on the power already. They're already getting sexually excited by what they're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not thinking, oh my, damn it, my car is filming me.
Right.
That's what they're not thinking. They're not realizing that those car videotapes can revoke.
Yeah, it works both ways. It's evidence against the person claiming they're not drunk and whatnot when they're stumbling around to be shown in court, but it also works in favor of the citizens when the police act inappropriately, and those films can be obtained and then presented in court to prove your case of excessive police force or going beyond their authority. It works both ways.
And I just gave a syndicatednews.net page of this case that shows the video, and you can see that the young ladies are being interviewed at the police station and at their attorney's office, because this is a serious matter, and you could see that both of them, and I can guarantee you anything that they, any time that they ever crossed the street or committed any type of crime, the police are going to use that against them. But as you can see from their faces, these are gals that are looking pretty normal to me. You know, mm-hmm. They're wearing glasses. If you're really that vain and you're a Vegas performer or something, you would be dressed a lot more provocatively. These gals are dressing very, very conservatively.
Low-key. Mm-hmm.
And look at the question. How much marijuana do you have? She says, we don't smoke marijuana. Well, how much marijuana you have in your car? And he said, I swear to God, we don't smoke any marijuana. So she's speaking in a very respectful tone. Even her answers are respectful and considerate and polite. She's just terrified, but they are very attractive gals.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured, well, we can get away with it. Why not? It was mostly a power trip, it seems to me.
Well, they read their Miranda rights.
No, because they were not placed under arrest. They were simply assaulted. Have you seen the video?
I haven't seen the video. I've read the story online. I did not watch the whole video through.
I just put the video in the chat room. Take a look at it, because if you look at it, I would like to talk to you while you view it, because it is unbelievable. Would you take a look at it? I just
hold on one second. Ella's got your page on her computer. I'm on a different computer.
Yeah.
I need to know the address.
Can you
send me a link to that page? Okay, I was going to send me a link real quick, and I'll just click on it to the clipboard to her page, and I'll find it.
Yeah, because we have the conversation of the gals talking with their attorneys after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
When they went to turn in, you know, to file a complaint and to turn these men in, these women in for doing this, they were told, they were intimidated again and told that they would be subject to arrest.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're being told that you are going to be arrested if you proceed with your complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Which again is another complication. You just threatened the very people whom you assaulted, whom your officers assaulted, and now you're going to threaten them. That if they go ahead with the report, that you're going to have them arrested. This is absolutely a problem. It's Irving, Texas.
Yeah, if they were asking these questions as a citizen, if I was innocent and everything, I would have taken my the fifth and said, I don't have to answer these questions. If you want to arrest me, fine, but you have to read me my Miranda rights, and I refuse to answer any questions because I feel this whole conversation is inappropriate. You know, you have a right to an attorney and everything else. If they wanted to arrest them, they could have arrested them, but they would have had to read them the Miranda rights.
They never read them, the Miranda rights. I'm watching the entire video, and take a look at it, and you tell me what you think, Neil. Take a look at that video.
Hold on one second. I'm waiting for Ella to send it over. I haven't gotten it yet.
Our version has a little blur around the panties so that you don't actually see the act. Well, you know. But there are the pictures I put in the front page of Syndicated News, of the show, of this blog talk segment, you can see the pictures are pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
But these gals, even the way they speak, they're calm. They're not insulting. They're not calling for people to die. Nothing like that. They're not saying anything ugly. But there's that police officer. She's digging into their pants. Something wicked. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy in the least. I'm sorry. This is so wrong on so many levels.
Well, again, you know, you keep pointing out how they're dressed and this and that. I don't care if they were dressed like hookers or in a very lewd and lascivious manner. Where they went and what they did is still inappropriate.
And she says to the police officer, "This has been an eye-opener for me. I've never been pulled over. I've never been examined." And he says, "Well, it's because someone smokes pot in your car every day."
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, excuse me, cigarettes. They smoke cigarettes in your car every day. Their attorney is Scott Palmer. We're going to be calling Scott Palmer tomorrow and reaching out to him to have him come to Syndicated News so we can discuss this case further.
I'm watching it now. I just brought it up on the screen.
It's important because you've been so vocal and so wonderfully, you've contributed so beautifully to the segment that your opinion matters a lot.
Thank you. I like I said, I've been following a lot of this because I find it a little bit disconcerting to see so much abuse on the part of police and authority figures in very select issues, but they shouldn't be occurring at all. I can understand a rogue story now and again, but it seems to be like maybe, you know, once or twice a month now we hear about these stories. And this one, you know, got more into the public mainstream where it was out there where people could see this. And it may make you want to go onto YouTube or in the news and see, gee, how often is this actually occurring to this degree? And you're kind of shocked when you look and you see it's more common than you realize.
And we are not happy about this at all.
No.
No. What do you think now that you've seen the tape? And here's one, you know, here's one. I'm sorry. This is, it almost looks like a rated X adult film. This is one without the blur so that you could see the gist of the matter.
Yeah, I'm watching the news report now where the female officer is examining the woman with the black shirt.
She's assaulting the woman.
Well, they put the little blocking.
I just gave you the one without the block.
Watching the one with the blocking, but I get the general idea of what's going on because they have to put that up, obviously, because it couldn't be presented on TV.
Actually,
and they're interviewing the two women now on the news story, and you could see.
Look at their eyes. Look at their gestures. Examine them as a family member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the woman's saying to her, "I was never pulled over. I was totally violated a couple of minutes ago. It's because someone's a daily smoker in that car. You can attribute it to that." I mean, here's the Scott Palmer speaking now, the attorney.
Well, give us your opinion. We have 90 seconds and the show's going to end.
Yeah, my opinion is let it go to court and let the pieces fall where they may. I think if it goes to a grand jury, they're going to see what happened. And they're going to rule on favor of letting this go to court. And I think that the two women that were obviously violated wrongly are going to win, without a doubt.
I agree.
If they don't, I would be very, very shocked and almost frightened that our system has come to this point. But I think they should win this case, without a doubt.
Thank you, Neil, for participating in
Thank
the show.
You. It's
we are
been a pleasure.
So grateful. It's been a pleasure to have you here. And I keep in tune because we're going to bring their attorneys here.
Okay.
And that's our next step. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to syndicatednews.net. Don't forget to follow John McCune when he's back from Italy. He's in the gorgeous regions of Italy, enjoying the holiday season, and we're always here, as you know, and we'll say good night. And we totally appreciate all of you, and good night from syndicatednews.net.
Mm-hmm.